Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. My name's Alon. I have here Nate, my co-host today.
Hello. I'm not the regular Nate.
This is a different Nate. My friend Nate Cox is taking the seat for Nate Big. Thank you, Andrew. And, of course, Andrew's running the boards for us today. Now, this is our first time in the studio. Well, it's my first time in the studio in a month because hockey has preempted us for many, many weeks. And Andrew's glad to see me back. He was reminiscing about the old times as we've been gone. And he's having a great old time on the soundboard over there.
This is my first time in the studio ever.
This is Nate's first time on the radio ever.
Yay.
So here's what we're going to do today. I've got a couple topics that I want to discuss. But some of you may know, I'm also going to have a little Christmas show today. Actually, I guess it's Hanukkah today as well. First day. I should know because I think I celebrated that last night with the family in California. So if you want more stuff, if you haven't gotten enough yet from Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Festivus or whatever, you should stay tuned. I'm going to be giving away a bunch of stuff. I have Sniper Elite for the Xbox by Namco. I have In the Groove, released by Red Octane. That's one of my favorite dance games for the PS2. Also have a dance pad that'll work with that, Dance Dance Revolution pad, the Ignition dance pad by Red Octane. And I also have a whole slew of MGE mod kits for your PC. If you want to make it all lit up and flashy, if you go to xgbox.com, you can see what that's all about. So I'm going to be asking questions throughout the show, and then during our last segment, I'll announce that it's time to call in and answer any one of those questions. So basically, you're like writing a quiz for yourself. And then when the time comes, you call up, you answer any one of them, and you win a prize. And if I think it's a hard question, maybe I'll even let you choose the prize. Otherwise, you know, you just get whatever I want you to have. So anyway, here's what we're going to talk about during today's show. We are going to talk about two major topics. First of all, what was my first topic? How come I can't remember now? There it is. There's something on Slashdot that I was pointed to called Does Size Matter? That's the name of the article. And it actually is on GameSpot.com. It's referencing innovation and a large company. Their example is EA. And if basically as your company gets larger, you lose innovation. And I know that's something that we've talked about quite a bit in the past, but I wanted to cover it again because I thought the article was actually really good. So go to GameSpot.com and look at their news posts, and you can read the article I'm talking about. It's called Size Does Matter, and so I'll be discussing that. And then I also want to talk about journalistic integrity. While I was away in Hawaii, and possibly even before I left, I can't remember exactly when it was written, Dan Hsu from EGM wrote an editorial, and it's gotten a lot of news coverage lately. It's all about whether or not gaming media, well, he's really claiming that gaming media is basically completely selling out, selling game covers to companies that as advertising and editorial content and all that, which is something we here at Chatterbox Video Game Radio do not do. Only, I think, because we haven't been asked.
By the way, you should buy Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
We haven't been approached by any companies with fat wallets. I'd like to think that we would choose not to take money for opinions. But you never know. I haven't crossed that bridge.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Nate would certainly do it. He's he panhandles on weekends.
Yeah, excellent.
Anything he can do.
I have no credibility whatsoever in any sort of integrity.
Nate's actually a friend of mine who's worked as an intern with Rainbow Studios in the past.
Yeah,
so he has some experiences actually working on a real game.
Yeah, it was a Xbox 360 title. I don't think I should mention what title it is.
You can't actually talk about it yet, right?
Well, I mean, I can say it's something you would expect Rainbow to do.
Gotcha.
It's nothing grandiose, and it's not going to be a big surprise, but no, I'm not exactly allowed to
talk. Yeah, I don't think it's officially announced yet. Yeah. I'm sure it has something to do with dirt and wheels. But that's just a guess. I have no idea either. But anyway, he actually worked with Rainbow as an intern, did some stuff, got to model lots of things.
Lots of cool
so
things.
It's good to have him here. And, of course, he's a friend of mine who knows a lot about games, too. So we're going to be talking about, well, those things I said we were going to talk about. Now, I also wanted to ask you all a question because we're going to be talking about this journalistic integrity, thanks to Dan Hsu from EGM. Do you feel that you've been lied to by the gaming media at any point in your consumerist life. If you want to talk about that or really anything else, you should know our phone number. It's 866-536-1100. That's also the number you'll use to call us to answer some of my trivia questions to try and win stuff. Of course, you'll want to wait till I tell you to do that. So 866-536-1100. This is available to anyone in North America who's listening live. Only going to give stuff away to live callers today, not to the podcasters listening when we're not doing the show. So I also want to talk about what I did this week. Nate, you didn't go away on vacation, right?
No, I stayed around.
Okay. Some of our listeners know that I went to Hawaii. Really wasn't all that exciting. I was with the family. There were young children involved. So either I was around people who were, you know, barely old enough to chew food, or people who were much older than me and weren't
starting
exactly.
Starting to lose the ability to chew.
Yeah, and losing the ability to chew. That's exactly right, actually. So that's what I did. But I did come across one cool thing while I was there. I was on Maui. And there's a lot of, really any touristy place you go, there's a lot of people selling the tchotchkes. And I was able to pick one up for myself. It's actually an ocarina. Now, there's this guy. I really should know his name, but I'm embarrassed to say. Oh, there it is. It's Leo. All right, so Leo and Jackie Brissett, based out of Ithaca, New York. You can go to their website, ocarinaworld.com, ocarinaworld.com. And they sell ocarinas. It's not the same people you've seen in Nintendo Power magazine selling stuff, but he does have some that look very much like the one in Ocarina of Time. And actually, the one I have has a Triforce imprinted right on it. I was very excited.
Yes.
To be able to get my hands on this, and I wanted to point you all to his website. And I think maybe I'll be brave enough to even play, because when I got it, he gave me a book of Zelda tunes. Andrew, do you think this will come through well? It'll work? All right.
Sweet.
I'm quite scared. I haven't played music on the radio before.
Maybe he needs a little encouragement.
I don't need encouragement. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. But here, let's give it a try. This is Saria's song, or a little bit of it. All right. All right, so you too. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. You two can listen to all these songs if you get an ocarina and play them yourself. And he actually sells the booklet of Zelda songs as well.
I think you should make it a weekly event where you play the ocarina.
That will not be happening, but I should say I'm very happy with it. I'm all excited that I have myself a handmade ocarina that looks just like the one from Zelda.
It's pretty
now,
nice.
Now, we have a couple minutes left, right, Andrew? And I know we have a caller right now. All right, so we're going to take, I think his name is James. Is that right? James from Utah, even. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I listen to your show on the podcast.
Right on. And you're listening live this week?
No, actually, I'm waiting for the podcast, but I decided to call in.
That's crazy. So you're not listening to the show, but you're on the show. I find that interesting.
I listen to the podcast, like, every week, faithfully.
I understand. So you just knew we were going to be on it this time?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool.
All right, so...
I have a comment for you about the Xbox 360. Everybody just raves about the graphics of the thing, but I have a pretty powerful PC, you know? And I went to, what was it? Nondescript video game store, you know?
Okay.
And they had the nice digital high-definition TV and saw Call of Duty 2. And I thought, oh, that's okay. So I got home. I wanted to play a couple games, and I played Battlefield 2. Then I fired up Call of Duty 1, and... You know, I looked at it, I'm like, the difference from the PC version of Call of Duty 1 to the Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox 360 on my PC isn't that much. I mean, Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox had the physics going on and all the, like, single-player scripting thing, but nothing much. I didn't see that much, so I can't really justify to myself the buying an Xbox 360. I don't know what you think of it if you compare it to a PC game.
Well... Now, I myself don't actually have a ton of experience with a 360 yet. If you followed this program a lot lately.
Yeah, you can get one. Target screwed you over.
Target did screw me over. I should tell you, though, I should announce to everyone that there is supposedly an Xbox 360 premium box set waiting for me in the office at the Target down the road from me this very moment. Unfortunately, it's 50%
Christmas. 50% off, right?
No, no. In fact, Nate got his earlier this week because it came while I was in Hawaii, so I obviously couldn't get it. And so I've had to... I only arrived this morning back home.
You were so depressed you had to go to Hawaii to get over it?
It was a trip my parents planned for me. Well, for everybody. They took, like, the whole family out. Anyway, so I don't have my Xbox 360 yet. I will be getting it tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. But Nate was able to pick his up this week. Nate Vig, my normal co-host.
Yeah.
And he told me that they actually didn't do anything to help him out, even though when I interviewed the manager there, mm-hmm. he told me very specifically that they will be helping out the people that they totally screwed, although he didn't put it that way.
Thanks.
He said that they will be either, you know, maybe reducing the price or doing something mm-hmm. to accommodate them in some way more than just the system. Nate went there. They made him wait around for 20 minutes, shuffled him from person to person. Finally, they pulled out a cardboard box with the Xbox 360 inside so nobody would know they were hustling around a 360 around the store. Thank you, Andrew. And then you're like, all right, here it is, sold, goodbye. And so I wasn't there. I can't vouch for the story, but I don't think Nate would tell a fib. He says that's how it went for him. He didn't even get the media remote that
came
in.
I talked to him right after he got it. He seemed very upset at the time. He wasn't very happy.
He wanted the premium pack. They gave him a premium pack with no remote.
No, it didn't have the special media remote, which the first shipment of Xbox 360s had. It had the limited edition one just for that first shipment. Yeah. And I made a point of always telling the people at Target when I get mine, it will come with the media remote just like I was supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what you said about the 360 and Call of Duty 2, although I don't have a whole lot of opinion to spread. And then we're going to get to our other topics. Call us at 866-536-1100 if you want to talk to us. And you, James, should stay on the line, talk to Andrew, and I'll send you a mod kit if you're interested. You just have to email me some info. All right, so stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back. We're back, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio on Christmas Day and Hanukkah Day. But when I say Christmas, you know it's December 5th. My name's Alon. I've got Nate Cox here in the studio with me.
What's up?
So we haven't done a lot of talking. I promised that I was going to talk about James's question. But first, I have to remind you that if you're interested in getting into the games industry, one way to do it is to make games. And you can do that, or you can learn how to do it, at UAT, University of Advancing Technology. Go to their website, uat.edu, to learn more about the programs that they offer. Now, about James's, I don't know if it was a question or a statement or what. Have you played a lot of Call of Duty?
I played the demo of it, which I was really impressed. I haven't actually played it on the PC. From my point of view, PC gaming and console gaming is two separate things entirely. Like, you can't say, oh, I compare the graphics and I compare the gameplay, because it's a totally different atmosphere. For me, playing a console is more about, like, the whole immersion of sitting back on my couch, you know, just chilling. Whereas a PC is very much desk-oriented and...
Don't you feel more immersed when you're using the mouse, though? You're right up to the screen.
No, I feel less, actually. I think the keyboard is what takes me out of it a lot more.
I hate the keyboard.
I hate it. And so, like, I'm pretty good. Like, I play Unreal a lot on PC, and I played, you know, through Doom 3, Half-Life 2, some of the big shooter titles, since we're talking about shooters. And personally, I just like to chill on my couch and... relax.
So James was questioning the legitimacy of an Xbox 360 purchase if the graphics aren't as good. Now, of course, we should argue that graphics aren't what makes it really important, but I think that's what the 360 is really riding on.
Sure.
Aside from the live stuff, which is really important. But like I said, I don't have a lot of experience with Call of Duty. I have seen it on 360, and it does look amazing. And from what people have said, what I've read is that, you know, it looks better, at least as good as any PC out there can run Call of Duty 2. Like I said, I don't know.
And what console has ever done that, really?
Yeah, it's pretty rare, and it only happens right at the beginning of a console's life cycle. I think if you're a big PC gamer and you like PC games, then you're fine and you don't need the 360. If you're interested in it, though, and money isn't a huge, huge issue, just get one. It'll make you happy. There's a lot of stuff that you'll enjoy. I would put off getting it until there are specific games you want. And I've said this time and time again, that you should buy the system not just because you like the system, but because you want to play the games. And that's also what excites me so much about the Revolution. Anyway, I want to move back to the topic that I promised we'd discuss. We're going to talk about innovation in general. But first, here's a few questions for you to answer for our gift giving in the last segment. First of all, I'll make it really easy. Not even a question. First three people who email me a picture of themselves holding up a handwritten sign that just says, you know, what they think of Chatterbox. Good or bad. You email it to me. First three people will get a mod kit. That's how simple it is. Now, I'm also going to ask some questions later on, or ask the questions now that you'll answer. Simple ones. What button is red on an Xbox 360 controller? Or Xbox, same thing. You know the answer, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And what company is making that Revolution console that I always say I love so much, even though I haven't played it? All right, so two really, really easy questions. In fact, here's another easy question. My normal co-host is named Nate, just like this Nate. What's my normal co-host's last name? Mm-hmm. Very simple questions. You can even find that right on our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Answer those in our last segment by calling 866-536, and I'll give you stuff. All right, so here's what I have to say about the article from GameSpot, where they ask, does size matter? I have a lot of stuff here. Okay, so first of all, they compare EA. The specific question is, does it make any more sense for a company like EA to try to be innovative than a smaller developer? And they name a couple small developers, one of which actually used to belong to EA, or be working with them in some capacity. And it makes several points. One thing that I find interesting is, which they also mentioned in the article, EA actually does a little bit of both. There's the question of innovation versus like sequelitis. And we know that EA does an awful lot of that. We've had this discussion before, Nate.
Yes.
So they obviously do like Madden and FIFA and every other one of their sports titles year after year after year. And I used to be really upset by that, but I've gotten more used to it because I've realized that $50 a year is very little money in terms of a hobby. Most people don't have hobbies if they go kayaking or, you know, touring the world or just drinking at a bar. Like, any one of these things can cost an awful lot more than $50 and usually does. And so I don't really gawk at people who buy the new Madden game every year anymore. When I was a kid and I realized, or I thought $50 was, you know, making or breaking my month, it was a bigger difference to me because I would just spend that money on a different game. But, Andrew is telling me things. You could just say it into my ears. No. People are calling. That's all right. They can answer questions during the last segment. I'll tell them when to answer. But for now, you should call in and just tell me what you think about the question of innovation or
the topic at hand.
Or perhaps the daily question, which is if you felt you've been lied to by the gaming press.
Yes.
Anyway, getting back to what I was saying. So EA does a lot of the sequelitis, but they also have probably the most innovative company there is. Maxis put out The Sims.
Right.
Did you like The Sims? I can't remember if
it's not my style. That's
no.
All. I liked how well it was done.
What about your wife? Did she get into it?
She doesn't. She actually likes boy games kind of thing.
The stuff that you play a lot.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who have enjoyed The Sims, and one of the great things about that game is that it opened up the gaming doors, the floodgates, to a lot of women who were really just playing Yahoo Hearts and stuff previous to the release of The Sims. And now there's more acceptance by both genders of gaming, I think partly because of The Sims very specifically. Now, of course, Maxis is busy producing Spore right now.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah, which we're all very excited about. I saw it at GDC. You saw it at E3, right?
No, I was with you at GDC.
GDC? Okay. So it looks really fantastic. And this company, Maxis, is under the umbrella of EA. So it's like they're hedging their bets. They're doing the innovation in terms of an entirely new game. This is what they call franchise innovation, developing a whole new game like Spore. And then they also have what Neil Young, EA LA's general manager, referred to as feature innovation, where in a game like Madden, you have the example they used was the quarterback view. I don't remember the exact name for it, but basically helmet cam for the quarterback. One issue I had with that particular part of the discussion was that that's not actually an innovative feature, and that was done in, I think, NFL Quarterback Club for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, it was.
They had the quarterback view. So that was really a poor example. But I think it is important to look at the difference between feature innovation and franchise innovation. And another thing that Neil Young had said in this interview was that EA is really focusing on feature innovation. And it bothers me to hear him say that because I'm not convinced that they have done quality feature innovation yet. And like I use the example of Madden, where it wasn't really that big a feature. And in fact, like, it failed with Quarterback Club. Nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
And so it was a feature that really nobody was interested in. So that bugs me. Another thing he said was that they looked back using Metacritic. They looked back at all the top games of like the last 3 years, or the top 30 games in the last 3 years or something, and decided that all those games had at least 1 to 3 new innovative features. And he said that that was a modest goal, you know, to try and make all your new games have a few innovative features. And I argue that, saying that to make even one innovative feature that isn't crap is a big struggle.
Yeah.
Now, I'm limited on time. I could go on forever about this, so I'm going to take a caller because I want to take callers. We've got Adam on the line. Adam,
hello?
You there?
Adam, yep. Hello.
Excellent. What's on your mind, man?
About the press thing. There's only one thing that come to mind for me.
Okay, what is that?
On IGN at E3 when the Revolution was shown.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the system. They said that the disc tray, like the one that pulls the disc in, that was working awesome.
Yeah.
And other news reports said that it was just an empty shell case. And
okay.
Then there were other reports saying that IGN was lying about that.
That's interesting. All right, I'm going to talk to you during the break about that. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back to talk more about this issue at hand. Are you being lied to by the gaming press? We'll be back in a few minutes.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
We're back, everybody, for the third segment of Chatterbox Video Game Radio here on Christmas Day. Now, some people are wondering when it is they should call to answer the wonderful trivia questions that I have for them to win stuff. That's next segment. I'll let you know. You're going to want to call 866-536-1100. I got a couple more questions for you, too. Hopefully simple ones. Already asked you what my normal co-host Nate's last name is. Also asked you what company's making the Revolution. What button on the Xbox 360 controller is red. Also just said, you know, send me a picture of you holding a sign talking about Chatterbox. Right now, first three. Nobody's emailed me yet. Not a single one.
Losers.
If Nate were at home listening, he would already have emailed me.
It would have been in your files.
Yeah. Would have been a picture of him and his wife holding a giant banner saying Xbox 360 rules and we like Chatterbox sometimes. So, also, name a ghost from Pac-Man. There are four of them. Name any one of them. That'll win you something. Any Xbox 360 launch title. That'll also win you something. I don't mind. I'm giving away stuff just free willy-nilly.
The whole point is this is a Christmas Hanukkah present that we just want to give away.
Yeah, but I just won't do it to anybody. All right, now also, this is a good question. If you can answer this one, it's actually really easy still. You get your pick. Pick of the lot, whatever you want that I have, even though it's not too much. Luigi's last name. We all know and love Luigi. Tell me what his last name is. All right, so you'll answer those questions next segment, 866-536-1100. So there are a couple more things before we go on. We have no time in this show. Our segments are so short. You wanted to make some points about what we were talking about before.
There's some. I take it the article is more about criticizing the lack of innovation within like the big companies and
really
like
the
that.
Point it's trying to make is when a company gets so big, can it still innovate?
Right.
Which is a point I didn't touch on much.
I think people need to look at it from more of like a business oriented standpoint. And me studying the game industry has made a huge realization, brought me this huge realization that it's about making money. And they are very innovative if you look at the various titles they release compared to a company coming up with one or two innovations. When they incorporate those innovations they come up with across the board with, like, you know, maybe 20, 30 games, whereas that other company that has this really cool new innovation can do it in one game. And so it's a big difference. My point is the innovation is not very much up front and in your face, like with the individual style, but more in the fact of the technology to allow them to create lots of different products.
So you're talking about back-end stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, see, that happens. And when you read, like, post-mortems of games, mm-hmm. the developers will talk about that. Like, I remember, I think it was some trucking game. I think it was Big Mother Truckers.
Oh, yeah.
That apparently had, like, streaming worlds and was some major leap in technology for them. But, you know, consumers didn't care. They were still playing Big Mother Truckers. So
it was the worst game ever.
But from a consumer point of view, which, of course, is ultimately the important point of view when it comes down to sales and whether or not the game is received well, they need to make innovative steps in terms of gameplay. And so, like, when I look at the Madden helmet cam, even if he thinks that was innovative, which I still disagree with, that's not an important gameplay element, because it's really, people don't want to use it during gameplay because it just hinders the actual gameplay process. And so there are other things we can do. Like, you look at Nintendo for inspiration in terms of their innovation. They have sequelitis like anybody else. We play so many Mario games now, it's a little crazy. But at the same time, Mario, just that one sequence of games, not like all the extra ones he makes, but like the strict Mario titles, they keep me playing video games. There have been times when I wonder, like, do I actually play games anymore? Do I care? But looking forward to the next Mario keeps me thinking I'm still a gamer, even though it's released every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the great points of it. If they released a new Mario game every year, you'd have, you know, maybe some new things or maybe a lot of new things, but still I'd get nauseated by the repetition of characters and everything, and I'd just be done with it. And, you know, kids can handle repetition day in and day out, watching Barney, the same episode 50 times. But the rest of us can't. And I'm really happy that Nintendo takes its time. You don't see a new Smash Brothers or Zelda or Mario game every other year. And if you did, it would end up like Mario Party, which does come out annually. And, you know, how many people do you know are excited with the next Mario Party title?
Not many.
None. And so, I mean, their innovation comes with microphones and whatever. But in general, Nintendo does a great job with this. They create the franchise, which is great to begin with. And when Miyamoto dies, I think games are pretty much going to die. I'm kidding. But anyway, they do a great job where they don't take these incremental steps forward, which is, in a sports game, like I said, I don't fault them for releasing something annually, especially since rosters change and all that.
Yeah, especially since the fan base wants it annually, too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not such a big deal. But there are other games you see getting sequels that, really, I don't need it every year.
Right.
And what happens is you fall into this succession of incremental steps. And I think that is a lot worse and hinders the success of a franchise a lot more than only releasing every few years with some more giant leaps. You know, Mario, some people complain that the newest one, Mario Sunshine, is not that huge a difference over Mario 64, but they did have a major core gameplay change with the water pack. It made the gameplay totally different, and that's necessary. You haven't seen a Mario game that's the same as another one.
Right.
3 and World are pretty close and whatever, but even Mario World 1 and Mario World 2, totally different. You didn't even play as Mario in Mario World 2. You were Yoshi. So, like, that's really important, and I think Miyamoto understands that you can't have the same game year after year and still discuss innovation. An innovative feature isn't going to cut it. You need innovative gameplay at the core. Otherwise, you turn into Mario Party.
Well, then there's the other half, too, where innovation ruins a franchise with its sequel. My example is Prince of Persia, whereas, like, the first one was great. The 3D versions of Prince of Persia. So Sands of Time was spectacular. Warrior Within, not so much. Very, very clunky, very hard to deal with. And
You're talking about the third one now that just came out.
No. That's two...
Oh, Two Princes or whatever?
Two Princes, something like that.
You're talking about the second one.
The second one. They innovated with the fighting system, and for me, it just kind of ruined the gameplay. I would have more been interested in keeping things the same and continuing the story, having new levels to go through, new interesting puzzles, because it's all about the puzzles anyway. And they didn't do that. They made it all about the fighting system, and it just kind of ruined it for me.
I understand. That's sort of what they did with a Super Nintendo game. Wow, I can't remember the name of it right now. It was the one where you build cities, right? But then you have the action levels in between, and then you go back to building cities again.
Oh, ActRaiser?
ActRaiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then ActRaiser 2,
great
all
series.
Action.
Yeah.
And nobody liked the second one.
Right.
So I understand your point. Although I would claim that's not really innovation. That's just change.
Change, yeah. I just think the pressure to innovate can be dangerous, is my point.
All right. My bottom line here, I think incremental steps hinder giant leaps. By doing it every year, you're not going to have the big steps, which really make the game shine. And so I'm upset at the sequelitis that's happened. But I don't really fault EA so much, because they're really, like I said before, they're hedging their bets. They're having innovative games and innovative products. while also having, you know, the annual release of all the sports games, which in that particular case, not such a bad idea. Although I do think they could grow a bit if they did take a year off, and give their developers time to come up and really truly implement new ideas well, rather than implementing a new idea poorly and revising it the next year.
But of course, they are the largest gaming company there is, so I think they're doing something right.
Yeah, well, clearly they've made some good moves.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've pretty much destroyed the time we have here to talk about the next issue at hand, journalistic integrity. So I guess we're going to save that for next week. If you have anything to talk about, though, if you want to talk more about it, or if you want to give me an example of one time you've been lied to, feel free. 866-536-1100. Talk very quickly about this. What happened is Dan Hsu, editor-in-chief of EGM Magazine, he writes this big editorial about how gaming media companies, and he refuses to name names throughout the whole thing, and that sort of created a backlash on him too. They're basically selling their magazine covers, which is something you're not supposed to do, and selling editorial content. He doesn't specifically say that people sell ratings, saying like, oh, we'll inflate the rating of this game, but they do say like you buy. He claims that other companies will, or other media, other magazines and whatever, and internet sites will give more coverage on a specific game. Like, you know, for instance, review a game that they wouldn't normally review if they're given advertising money for a certain game and run ads.
Give a whole page to where it should have been a little part of a column.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it runs the gamut, the different types of things they would do to accommodate the advertisers. And this upsets him a lot, and it would upset me too. We certainly don't sell out, like I said before, only because I haven't been given the opportunity. Otherwise, I would be pitching every company from here to Kingdom Come just because they gave me money, because I'm that way. But he doesn't do it, and apparently EGM is better than that, so he claims. But this bugged some people who said, you should have named names, otherwise you're just as bad as them. I don't really believe that, and I would love to take on anyone who has that argument. But for now, we've got to go to break. So give us a call at 866-536-1100. You're going to want to answer all those questions I asked before, and we'll give you stuff because it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, and that's what we're doing today. We'll be back. We're back one last time. Chatterbox Video Game Radio, Alon and Nate.
What's up?
I'm going to have people answering questions now. Answering questions to try and win stuff, because I like to make people happy, and I know that getting free stuff generally does that, especially here on Christmas and Hanukkah.
Because that's the true spirit of Christmas and Hanukkah.
Christmas is all about giving. And like I said in my newsletter, Hanukkah is all about lights and mod kits. They have lights in them.
There you go.
You'll be given a mod kit. It'll be Christmas present.
Christmaka.
Yeah.
Sure.
You've heard that lately?
No. I've heard Christmas Hanza Quantica lately. They might have a patent on that.
That's
though,
Old Navy. All right, so here we go. Here are the questions to review, although we've got several people on the lines right now. I don't think you could even make it in if you tried. First of all, I'm waiting for people to send me pictures of handwritten signs saying whether or not they like Chatterbox. Only gotten one so far, thanks TJ. Also, what button on the Xbox 360 or Xbox controller is red? What company is making the Revolution console? Big fan of that company. What's my normal host Nate's last name? Pretty simple question. Name a ghost from Pac-Man. Name any Xbox 360 launch title. Give me Luigi's last name as well. Fictional character has a last name. I want to know it. And in fact, that one, special question. We're going to go to line number two. I think this is Ross from Columbus, Ohio. Am I right?
Yes.
Excellent. Ross, you wanted to answer a question, I presume.
Yeah, which one do you want?
You pick, man. Luigi's last name is the special question that gives you your pick of prize, though.
All right, let's go with that one, then.
All right, what's Luigi's last name?
According to the motion picture from Mario Brothers, Luigi's last name is Mario.
And that is correct.
Excellent.
Although I wouldn't tell you it's correct just because you saw it in that movie, because a lot of things are incorrect in that movie. But you are correct. Mario and Luigi's last name is Mario, hence the Mario Brothers.
Have they ever said it in the... in the games?
You know what? I don't even know. I've picked it up through time, through the sands of time. Yeah. I have
amazing
found that their last name is Mario, but I don't...
Regardless of what else you say about that movie, John Leguizamo was great as Luigi.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I actually, I thought it was good. The rest of the movie, kind of iffy. I think
not
the peach
so
could have been hotter,
yeah.
But
sure.
But whatever. Speaking of peach, another question for you folks out there. Peach's counterpart, I believe, first introduced in Mario Kart for the GameCube.
I know of her from nowhere else.
Exactly. So anyway, thank you very much, Ross. Stay on the line and talk to Andrew. He'll give you a code. You can email me and give me your address and stuff. All right, next caller.
You didn't let Andrew pick his prize.
He'll send me that in an email.
Oh, okay. You got to send that.
Yeah. He should send that right now, actually, so I don't give it away. Or just tell Andrew what the prize is. Anyway, next caller, line three. Andrew's going to set this up for me. Line three. We've got somebody, Sandel, perhaps?
Sandel?
So, I don't hear anybody.
To that.
I don't hear anybody on line three. We're going to go to line four, perhaps named Gerard. Line four. Man.
Sandel?
But I've got Sandel back. Let's go.
I was here.
All right. I couldn't hear you, man. All right. You want to answer a question? What question do you want to answer?
The Pac-Man one.
Pac-Man. Right. Name a ghost from Pac-Man.
Inky, Blinky, Peking, Quack.
Wow. So you
all
got
of them.
All of them, although one of them was wrong. Floyd.
Floyd Sue. Is actually his name, yes.
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Floyd.
Well, I think Sue was Miss Pac-Man.
Maybe. Whatever. I'm giving it to you. You had three right. And that's good enough. Let's see. I got to find out what that other guy wanted. I screw this up every time I do a prize giveaway. But I'm going to send you a mod kit. Stay on the line, and Andrew will take some information from you, and you will email me, and everyone will be happy. Next caller. Andrew, I'll let you pick the line, except he's taking so many phone calls. Do I have somebody else who wants to answer a question? I actually have many. Matthew, you're on the air.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. Thank you for listening. What question would you like to answer?
I'll do the Xbox controller, because that's insanely easy.
Yes, it is. Which button on the Xbox and Xbox 360 controller is red?
The Q button. No, I'm kidding. The B button.
The B button. Nate?
It's true. I don't know. He said Q. I think we should go with Q.
I'll give him it. Now, tell me, what color is the Y button?
Yellow.
Wasn't that the blue one?
No, blue is X.
Blue. X is blue.
Blue is X and green is A.
Yep. Yeah. All right, well,
all
you
the
win.
Rest are white
you win.
And gray.
Once again, stay on the line. And I'm going to see.
What are you going to give him?
I really. Andrew, have you figured that out for me? What the other guy wanted? I gave him the choice.
He
can't think. He gets a dance pad, he gets Sniper Elite, he gets In the Groove or a mod kit.
I think just dance pad, because that's like the coolest prize.
But maybe he doesn't have a PS2 or Xbox.
True. All
right, I'm going to let you choose your pick of the two games. In the Groove or Sniper Elite. Do I not have him on the line? Andrew. Man. All right. Well, I've got somebody on the line now. Mike in Canada. That other guy's getting a mod kit. That's what we're doing. Mike in Canada. What would you like to answer?
Just give me a question because I don't remember them now.
All right. Who's making the Revolution console?
Nintendo.
That is right. Nintendo.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. I'm going to let you pick either Sniper Elite or In the Groove for the PS2. Now, Sniper Elite's for the Xbox. Right. In the Groove for the PS2.
Use a mod kit?
Oh, you want a mod kit? Sure.
Yeah. It
is yours. Go to xgbox.com to learn more about those mod kits, everybody. Put out by MGE. I don't even know what that stands for. But they release a bunch of fun mod stuff for your PC. And, stay on the line. Andrew will talk to you and give you code. Do we have someone else? Do I have any questions left?
You got a couple.
I do have a question left, and plenty of people on the line. Who do I have on the line with me now?
What would you like to answer?
Jim.
Jim, I can barely hear you.
Alright.
Hello, Jim.
You need to try a little harder.
Right.
Hello?
There you are.
Whoa.
Excellent. Alright, what question would you like to answer? It looks like the only one left is naming an Xbox 360 launch title.
Hello? Me?
Yes.
This is Matt again. The line cut out on me.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, that's fine, man. Forget it. Stay on the line then. I guess.
But I'll answer another question.
No. One prize per person in North America. All right, so we're going to switch to someone else. Andrew's going to give me someone else. I know he will. If I ran this myself, I think it would be faster. Just because he has to do two things at once. Richard. I have Richard on the line.
What's that?
You're on the line, Richard.
All right.
On the air. So, name an Xbox 360 launch title for me. Just one.
Call of Duty 2.
Call of Duty 2. We discussed that on today's
Excellent.
Show.
Yep, he's been listening.
All right, so you get to choose, sir. Really, any of the prizes. Unless, Andrew, has the other guy figured out what he wanted? All right, good. Well, he's going to email me, and he gets second choice if this guy wants. What would you like as your prize? We've got Sniper Elite for Xbox. We have In the Groove for PS2 by Red Octane. We love Red Octane. We also have a dance pad by Red Octane, Ignition Dance Pad. It's a nice soft dance pad for dance games. Or a mod kit for your PC. What would you like?
I'll pick the dance pad.
The dance pad
ding, ding,
is yours. I hope that other guy didn't want it.
Well, if he did, he's
I need you to email me and remind me what prize you wanted, and Andrew will give you a code to include in that email so that I know you're not skunking me. All right.
Skunking.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. But we have a couple more minutes, so there's plenty of Xbox launch titles.
Yeah.
So name a different one, not Call of Duty 2, and I will send you a prize as well. Who do I have who still wants to answer a question? I've got Andrew Work. Mitchell!
Hello, Mitchell. Mitchell's
gone. Mitchell's gone. Bruiser doesn't want to talk to me.
Dan,
line one, you there?
Hello, Dan.
Dan doesn't want to talk to me either. All right, we're going to take somebody else. See, anytime I've tried to give away prizes, this happens.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe it's because I do massive prize transfers.
Didn't we have Gerard before?
Yeah, you did.
I tried Gerard.
That's okay.
Have I already spoken to you?
No.
No. Okay, name an Xbox 360 launch title that's not Call of Duty 2.
Perfect Dark Zero.
Excellent.
Perfect Dark Zero. And, in fact, there was a Perfect Dark Zero limited edition.
Yeah, I have that. It's good.
What's the difference in the two?
It's like the Halo 2 limited edition, where it comes with, like, the extra DVD, behind-the-scenes footage, and it's the metal case.
And a nicer case, I think.
Yeah, the metal
case
is pretty nice.
Exactly. All right. So I've given away the dance pad.
Oh, dang.
yeah, that was just given away. And, yeah, so I'm going to let you choose. You get In the Groove for PS2 by Red Octane, or at least published by Red Octane, or you get Sniper Elite by Namco for the Xbox, or you can have a mod kit for your PC to put flashy lights and fans into it. What do you think?
I think I'll take In the Groove.
In the Groove. All right.
Good choice.
Stay on the line. Angel will give you a code like I've told everybody else. You email me, remind me what you wanted, and give me your address and everything, and it's yours, In the Groove. So now we have Sniper Elite left. And we have mod kits left.
How many mod kits do you have?
I have like a million.
A lot, huh?
A million. Actually, we're probably running low at this point, but who knows? again, more launch titles for the Xbox 360. This is going to be our question to give away lots. So do I have anybody else? The boards are still lit up. Mitchell's back. Now, I know for a fact Mitchell has won stuff in the past, but we'll let him win another one.
All right.
Mitchell?
Yeah.
Riddle me this. Xbox 360 launch title that's not Perfect Dark Zero or Perfect Dark Zero Limited Edition or Call of Duty 2.
Project Gotham Racing 3.
Project Gotham Racing 3. And what excellent minigame is inside Project Gotham 3? Do you know?
I have no idea. I haven't played any 360 games.
It's Geometry Wars and Geometry Wars Retro or something.
It's pretty spectacular.
Remix. It is fantastic. All right. Huh. You get a mod kit, my friend.
Oh, I don't get to pick what I want?
No, because there's not that... Well, unless you want Sniper Elite for the Xbox. All right. Well, time's up. you're getting a mod kit. Because I don't have any other choices here. I got 10 more seconds. Give me somebody else, Andrew, real quick. Man, this is a tough job. I need to have three monkeys working for me in the back. line three. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air. Answer me a question. Give me one of the launch titles for Xbox 360 we haven't already named.
Condemned Criminal Origins.
Criminal Origins.
Call.
You're absolutely right. All right. Do you want Sniper Elite for the Xbox by Namco or a mod kit by MGE for your PC? Lots of flashy lights.
Give me a mod kit.
Mod kit. All right. You will email me. Remind me that. Just give me your address. We got to go, everybody. I will try to give away more prizes in the future, but I think we did a pretty darn good job.
We gave away a lot.
On our Christmas edition of Chatterbox with the Chatterbox Treasure Box. Next week, by the way, hockey is going to be on, so we're going to only have a podcast-only show. Next 2 weeks, in fact. We'll be back in 3 weeks, everybody. Thanks for listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we will be back.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.